There's a new study that's come out that outlines problems facing men, including higher dropout rates from school, lower rates of university attendance, and higher suicide rates. This all comes from the Institute of Marriage and Family. And joining us now is Andrea Mrozak. She is a researcher for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, and she's on the line with us now. Good afternoon. How are you, Andrea?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. I remember hearing the stat, and this just stood out because obviously I'm in the business that, you know, I get to hear all this little tidbits of information, sometimes useless, sometimes useful. But I remember reading a couple of key stats. One was in 1980, I believe that was the year that most Canadian women started working outside the home. So there was more working outside the home than inside the home. Obviously, that's changed our lives a great deal. Also, the next one was that as of very recently, there's more women graduating from university than there are men. Hard to believe this, especially when it wasn't that long ago when this was, we were trying to encourage more women to go to university.
Right, yes, and some of those trends are very positive and others are neutral, and some of the trends in the recent decades are negative. And the point of the study was to look at our changing society and identify the ways in which particularly boys and men might be affected. So there's two points in the study. First of all, there's more than two points, but there's two ideas. Mm-hmm. First, we identified that there is a problem looking at the statistics, and you've mentioned some of them, higher suicide rates, for example. There's also perhaps less dire things, for example, more men living at home with their parents today between the ages of 20 and 29 as compared with 1981. The recent recession was also called a man session by some because men were more affected and were more likely to lose their job. And so we're looking at the problem and then sort of musing about some of the possible changes and even solutions. So marriage is also in decline, and that's at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. We're always looking at the ways in which marriage and family affect other things and are affected by other societal trends. So marriage, we're marrying less, and marriage historically acted as in a couple of ways, but one of them was to include men in family and tie men to a family, tie them to children. It's always quite clear who's bearing the children. Women carry them and then have children, but it wasn't historically always quite as clear. So marriage used to do that. And then marriage also acted as a marker, and it sort of was one of the markers that launched you into adulthood. And so that's another interesting point about marriage. And the paper is really, it's an interesting discussion of these ideas. Definitely think that there's a problem and that men are often ignored or sort of left behind when we look at some of our social circumstances around us. So this paper is an attempt to draw some attention to them.
Are you surprised at how quickly it has changed, or is that just the way it is nowadays?
Well, it's hard to say that I'd be surprised. I am a young woman living in Canada, never known anything different, actually.
Right.
I'm in my early 30s. So as a researcher, I'm not generally surprised by much. I'm just looking at the data. I think that what's troubling is that we don't really examine men and boys as much as we could. And I think what is further troubling is that we tend to, I think, adopt, whether we acknowledge or not, a bit of a feminist lens, which is one of competition and not cooperation. And so I'm talking about feminists in academic sort of circumstances and not just women working there's a trend in feminist literature that is very hostile to families. For example, person came to a United Nations conference and told the group that the decline of family, the decline of marriage, and that family breakdown itself actually represented a triumph of human rights over the patriarchy, and that's in the paper.
Wow.
That kind of thing is is very extreme, but it somehow, I think, has filtered into our thinking a little bit, where we don't, we tend to look at male-female relationships, and there's always this element of competition rather than cooperation.
Well, exactly. I mean, since the 1960s, everybody's been preaching equality, but it's not about equality anymore. It's about one being ahead of the other, and that wasn't the whole idea in the first place.
And it's also an elusive and perhaps imaginary goal to think that you could have 50% like full-on equality in every single area in which men and women meet. Oftentimes these things, and my opinion personally is that these things ought to be dictated by desire, So where feminism did do us all a great service is to ensure that those women who want to do, career X, Y, or Z can. So we can all acknowledge that that's a positive development. But I think that the pendulum might need to swing a bit to the middle and just examine the ways in which men and women want to work together. For every woman out there, men are your husbands, your brothers, your fathers, right? And so if men are lagging and doing poorly in any number of different ways, which the statistics show that they are, women are not thriving because we are close, right?
Yeah,
if my brother falls, it's not a success for me.
But I think you bring up a very valid point because, again, I'm a guy in my mid-40s, so growing up in the 70s, I mean, we saw full frontage, that wasn't the correct term, but we saw the movement, the feminist movement take off and how we have to put women, we have to do our best to make sure that women get educated and move forward and become equal with men, but it almost seems like it's been at the expense of men now.
And there's been a bit of social engineering. For me in high school, the big poster in school was, I want to be an engineer just like my mom. And it sort of speaks to the point that, by and large, women haven't entered into the maths and sciences quite as much. But returning to the point of the paper, I think it's to examine the ways in which men and boys, boys moving into adulthood might need some additional help, and we may need to pay some additional attention to how boys are developing. Incidentally, I will add, on the equality front, since that's my era, mm-hmm. we will do a status of women paper and examine the ways in which women are doing well or not so well. It doesn't always mean that if the boys are doing poorly, it doesn't mean that the girls are thriving, and in some cases that's also true. So mm-hmm. We'll follow up with another paper on that topic later.
Do you think it will take as much time to educate everybody about this issue you're talking about with men and boys as it did to bring women along through the 60s, 70s, and 80s?
Well, I think everybody wants to hear about men and boys, and everyone's very open to that message. What is very poorly received is the idea that marriage acts as a marker to adulthood, that men who are married actually do better on certain social indicators. They are, have better health outcomes and earn more money. I think the message about marriage, which we're the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, so that was a part of the paper, that message is a tough sell. But when it comes to ensuring that men and boys do well, I think that that will actually be, it's a positive message, and most people are on side.
It just really seems to be a double standard the other way now. Like, I mean, for example, watch TV, watch commercials, listen to the radio, whatever. It seems like every so often you'll hear, and I'm sounding like a whiny guy here now, Andrea, and I don't mean to, but it sounds like you're hearing, spots where guys are kind of almost put down, made to look stupid. And if we did that exact same spot, now, not let alone 20 years ago, even if we did that now, we'd be held, we'd be called to the mat by women's groups saying you're not being fair. Yet it seems to be fair game to kick the guys.
Well, and that's definitely out there. There's been books written on it. One of them is referenced in the paper. And the cultural tendency today is that it's men are fair game. And really, I think that that is a paper on its own, to talk about the manners in which we have it's a terrible thing, really, to accept it, that it's A-okay to make men, whether it's, the Simpson family or a different show, the men are just jokers and kind of useless, right?
Right, yeah.
So that's unfortunate, and that could take some more time, but when it comes to public policy, for example, I don't think anyone seriously would be, everybody would be very concerned if boys aren't doing well, which in some regards they aren't.
So is it safe to say strong marriage equals strong family equals strong boys?
Well, definitely when it comes to raising boys, they benefit from fathers in the home. Most single-parent families, 80% of them, in fact, are lone mothers still. So, yeah, definitely not looking to consign anybody to an unhappy marriage. That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
But to reintroduce a conversation about how strong marriages are good for our families, and more importantly, they're good for our culture, too.
Andrea, website we can go to find out more about this?
www.imfcanada.org. We're the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.
Andrea Mrozak has been with us, researcher for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Andrea, thanks very much for your time. Very insightful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.